Thank you. Again, it is our joy to come to you with studies in the Gospel and in the prophet of Jonah. We're dealing indeed with the Gospel aspect of this little book, and I am sure that as you've gone along with me in the first two chapters, you'll agree that this gives to us a wonderful picture of the marvelous, wonderful grace of God. In chapter 1, we found out salvation was not by giving up things or throwing things overboard, but by believing God. The death of the Jew, Jonah, brought peace and salvation to these Gentile sailors. In chapter 2, we found that salvation was not by ceremonies, by prayer, by vows, but salvation was of the Lord. That is a complete, wonderful Savior. Now, when we come to chapter 3 of Jonah, we find that these people of Nineveh believed God. Allow me to read briefly this chapter, the third chapter of the book of Jonah. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, Yet 40 days, that is, he shouted it out. He proclaimed it. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, he laid his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink any water, nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent, and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. Let me just stop right there. Now, may I repeat it again? In chapter 1, salvation is not by giving up things or by working hard. Through the death of the Jew, salvation came to the Gentiles. In chapter 2, salvation is not by praying, by ceremonies, or by paying vows. Salvation's of the Lord. Now when we come to chapter 3, salvation, they were delivered by believing the message. They believed God. The message brought them face to face with God. And they had to do something about God. The message is very simple, it's very clear, and very unusual. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be destroyed. They are given 40 days of grace. Just like today, the gospel of Jesus Christ is very simple. It's very clear. As Paul could say in Corinthians 15, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and was buried, and was raised again the third day according to the scriptures. God has concluded all men under sin. God has shut every man's mouth. The world is guilty before God. But I read in 2 Peter chapter 3, the 9th verse, God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Remember this. Nineveh, that great city, was given 40 days of grace. We have been given 1900 years of grace. God is still long-suffering to men. God wants men to come to him. When God made man in the first place, he made man for fellowship and relationship with himself. He made man in his own image. He made man so that man could communicate with him and have fellowship with him. And what happened? Sin came in. Rebellion came in. Ruined the whole picture. And although man is still possibly the highest of God's creation, nevertheless, sin has come between, and God is still yearning for man. God still loves men. He loves you, my friend. He manifested that love by dying for you. And here we are living in a day of grace. People say to me oftentimes, why doesn't God do something? Well, my friend, if God were coming in his judgment, I said very bluntly, I wouldn't want to be on the face of the earth. Remember that God is still righteous. I want to keep this before your mind. He's absolute in righteousness. He can never look at sin without judging it. Now, here's a nation. The Assyrians were possibly the outstanding empire of the day. They were a very cruel, very, very cruel people. And yet the message is very simple. Nineveh, I'm going to give you 40 days of grace, then I'm going to consume you. Again, may I remind you, this city of Nineveh was a large city. If I may quote from Herodotus, the Roman historian, that the city was 60 miles in circumference. It was 20 miles across. A city of possibly over 600,000 people. Very wicked, and they worshipped the fish god. This is one of their gods, the fish god. And hence, when our Lord speaks of this in Matthew 12:41, we read that Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites. You find this also in the Gospel through Luke. You remember chapter 11. We read these chapters to you at the beginning of our study of this book of Jonah. When our Lord spoke, you remember, in Luke chapter 11, they said, they seek a sign. And our Lord said, there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign to the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. That's quite an indictment that our Lord gave to the Jews of his day. This terrible city of Nineveh, these Assyrians whom the Jews hated with a terrific hatred, are going to sit in condemnation and judgment upon the people of our Lord's day who saw him, who heard him, who beheld his miracles, his credentials as to who he was. And Jonah coming out of the fish. Speaking of a resurrected man, brought hence a message of judgment to a people that was worthy of judgment. No question about that. You remember we gave you those verses in John 3:18 and 36. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that hath not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men. In 2 Thessalonians 1:8, he's going to come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and who obey not the gospel. The message was one of judgment. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. And as a righteous, holy God, he must judge this terrible city of Nineveh. But he must judge in righteousness. And may I say, behind that message was the desire and yearning on God's heart that this terrible city of Nineveh would repent. The purpose of the message was not the destruction of Nineveh. The purpose of the message was to bring Nineveh to God. People say, well, Mr. Mitchell, I don't like this hellfire business. Well, maybe not. But may I say, the message of judgment, the message of a righteous God that he must judge sin, is for the purpose that you might come to know him. Allow me to quote from Isaiah 26, verse 9, where it says, when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants thereof learn righteousness. When thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants thereof learn righteousness. And remember Revelation chapter 19, where we have this amazing statement, that last book of the Bible. Allow me to read these first two verses. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation, glory, honor, and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. He's going to judge in truth. He's going to judge in righteousness. And my friend, who can stand in the presence of a holy, righteous God if you're in sin? So you hear, you have the nation of Assyria, and especially the city of Nineveh, under the righteous judgment of God. And you please notice in verse 5. Now mark the message. In 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown. I give you 40 days of grace. In verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God. It did not say they believed the prophet. The message brought them face to face with God. And as we shall see afterwards, the less a servant of God shows himself, the more effective is the message. Now, the result of it is, they believed God and their faith was manifested by their repentance. If we read verses 5 to 8, it's real. Let's put away all our evil. Let's get down before God. Let us fast and pray. Maybe God will have mercy upon us. I repeat it, the message of Jonah brought them face to face with God. They believed God. You know, I've had people say to me, why, Mr. Mitchell, I've always believed that Christ died for me. I've known that ever since I was a kiddie. I've always known that Christ died for me, that he was buried, that he was raised again. I've always believed the message of God. What do you mean by believing the message of God? That doesn't mean just a mental assent to it. What about the one of whom the message speaks? When we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're talking about a person. And the message of Jonah, though it was a message of judgment, brought them face to face with God. What will they do with God? And I read, they believed God. And they proved their faith by what they did. They manifested their faith by their repentance. It was real. They want to give up their sins and their evil deeds. This is what you have in the picture. If you've come face to face with the Son of God and put your trust in him, there will be a transformation of life. Not only a reception of life, but a transformation. And God expects this. Faith that is genuine will affect your whole life. And here it is. Not only did they repent, but they threw themselves on the mercy of God. In verse 9, I read, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? They threw themselves on the mercy of God. You know, I'd like to read a verse or quote a verse to you from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, which says, God, who is rich in mercy. Now, what's the connection with that? He has just said that we were all children of wrath like the rest. We had our life, our manner of life, and the lusts of the flesh and the lusts of the mind. We were by nature children of wrath like the rest. But God, who is rich in mercy and great in love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Do you mean tell me he loves me even when I'm in sin? Yes, yes. He proved that love by sending his son to die for you. However, if you spurn his message, if you turn from him, there's nothing left but judgment. My friend, it's either Christ or judgment. And these people threw themselves on the mercy of God. Do you remember a verse that I gave you a while ago in Romans chapter 11, verses 32 and 33, where I read, God hath concluded them all in unbelief, Jew and Gentile. For what purpose? That he might have mercy upon all. Wonderful thing. Now we've become the objects of the mercy of God. I'm thinking of that verse in Romans 11 which says, all the depths of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Whoever would have thought of planning such a marvelous salvation for sinners, for rebels like you and me, and make a tick? You take Titus 3:4, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. You see, the effect of the message came right to their conscience. And hence you have the confession of their sin, they turned from their evil ways, they acknowledged that the judgment of God was just. And God did not execute judgment but mercy. As I said a while ago, the purpose of the message was to bring them to repentance. And the moment they believed God, there was immediate mercy. Oh, how wonderful the God of all grace has compassion on those who will humble themselves and believe God. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. And here over 500,000 souls were delivered from the wrath and judgment of God. And remember, it was possibly the most wicked city of the day. Yes, but I'm also reminded of the fact that he died for the ungodly. Romans chapter 5, 6 to 8. For when we were yet without strength, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And may I say, possibly this was the greatest revival through the simplest message. What kind of God, what kind of people did God save? The ungodly who believe. This is a faithful saying and worthy of your acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Oh friend, why don't you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? What does Christ mean to you? It's not some mental assent to the truth, but a definite personal relationship to the Savior. Didn't Jesus say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest? He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. To as many as received him, to them he gives the right to become the children of God. And again I say, isn't it wonderful that you can be saved right where you are, right in your own home, in your car? God has made the provision. Why don't you accept God's matchless provision for your salvation and thus pass from death to life? Revel in the mercy of God toward you because he loved you and he died to redeem you. And the Lord make it real to you today for his name's sake.